Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning for the gift of life that we have. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as a family. And we pray for those, Lord, who may be unwell in their bodies, that, Lord, you heal them, that all of us may rejoice together at your feet, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we open the scriptures to encourage one another, may you grant and add your blessings, O Father, that at the end of this service, we may all rejoice in the Spirit, knowing that, Lord, you've ministered to us. We pray for Sister Mlenga, who has been unwell, and her mother, who is very ill. Lord, may you heal her, and may you grant comfort to that family. In the name of Jesus, we are so thankful for your love and your blessings upon us this morning. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Shall we give the Lord a mighty hand? Praise the Lord. I greet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shall we straight away go into the Word? Is there a visitor in our midst? Did we welcome our visitors? We didn't. If you are here, it's your first time being with us, just kindly raise your hand. We want to welcome you. If it's your first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. You can tell us your name, sir, and where you are coming from. Mungatuze zina yanu na kwamini mchokela? David. Mchokela kuti? Makeni? Oh, so mbuli mumakeni mwamene munu. Dimola ndilidwa. Amen. God bless you. Welendo wena nguwamine tiri nao. Gatin first time yanu. Kupesika pakati patu. Okay, God bless you. So, Mr. David, you are most welcome. Amen. Okay. Shall we just go to the reading of God's word? I want us to look at the gold. The gold, the raiment, and the eisov. Okay, so today we just want to speak about the gold, but there are really three things we want to look at. Let us speak those three words. The
gold,
and eyes of. So we find those things in Revelation 3:17. May we turn there. So, Brother Chitoshi, there are some people who are completely relying on your interpreting. So just make sure you are loud enough and you are clear enough. Revelation 3:17. So let us remember Pastor James Veremu in prayer. He is in Kenya on his way to Kigali. I trust there are meetings going on there. So let us pray that he'll be a blessing there. Now, this is still speaking about Laodicea. So the series I've been carrying, we've been speaking about church history all the way from in the beginning, the early church, up to where we are. And now we are speaking of the time we are in. And the Lord willing, in this, we shall talk about prophecies concerning the day we are living in and things that are to be. But we'll take it slowly. So, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now, if you notice, brethren, these words which Laodicea speaks to itself are words which unmistakably point to the conditions of our time. Laodicea says, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. Now remember, this is a church condition. We're not talking about just the world in general. We're talking about the church of Laodicea. There is no time when you look at history when the church system has been as wealthy as the present time. The gospel has been twisted and changed. It's no longer about the cross. It's no longer about salvation. It's about get rich. Pursue your dreams. Hey, we are living in a time when Pentecostal men, preachers, bishops, can be among the wealthiest. There's so much to talk about that. But it's not just the church system. It is something which is happening in the world systems. We are living in a time when there's a lot of emphasis on you need to invest, you need to become rich, you need to be an entrepreneur. Yeah, but if you notice here in Zambia, those who belong to the Gen X, most of them valued working for the government. Ukasebenza kuli boma una security maninge. Not much into entrepreneurship and investment stuff as in our context of Zambia. But as you move to millennials, there's quite some difference. Things have changed. Certain things which have improved from here to there. But not much values have been lost. They still uphold to certain important values and traditions which were taught by the Gen X, our parents. So they still have an element of that. But as you move down, I think this is, millennials are Gen Y, right? Yeah, millennials are Gen Y. Then now there are these, the Gen Zs. I think there are a lot of them here. The Gen Zs. Generation Z is from where to where? 20? The ones we like calling Matupin, they are here. These have been born in the era of technology. The Gen Y
TV used to start at 17 hours and it used to end at midnight.
If you tell that to a Gen Z,
that doesn't make sense.
But I was reading something about Gen Z. They are born at a time when people are taught, don't rely on government jobs. Employ yourself. Start a company. They are so much into that. Okay? It's a generation that knows my rights. Right? Very fluent with technology. So they are born in a condition which is quite very different from these others. They are born in a time when democracy has really taken its root in Africa or the world in general. So this is a generation that knows about my rights. They are very preoccupied on how can I make it in life to do well, to have money, to have an investment. When you look at the millennials here, the spirit of entrepreneurship and money making was started around this period. It was very much emphasized. You notice that even the wealthiest people we have today, you know, it's young people. Who is the richest man now in the world? Elon Musk. You know, does he work for the government? No. He's an innovator, you know. Which other people top the list? Those who are among the wealthiest, apart from Elon Musk? You have Bill, yeah, although Bill Gates, I mean, those guys are phasing out. You have Mark Zuckerberg, right? And this other one, the owner of Amazon and all that. Yeah, Bezos. And then you now have young people. The other time I was surprised to see a very young child. I think he's not yet 7 or 8 years old, but he's very wealthy and very rich. You know what he does? He has created a YouTube channel, and whenever there's a new toy, he just puts a camera there and he begins to talk about how cool this new toy is and how good it is. And children love that channel. And so now, even companies are interested because whatever toy he talks about, children would want to tell their parents, I want that toy also. Now, you know what businesses do when they see that? They say, okay. Let us give that child a new toy for free. Let him talk about it on that channel. Because they know when he talks about it, a lot of business in their shops. Okay? And just doing reviews about toys and all that, the little child is very wealthy and rich because a lot of, you know, companies want to advertise on his channel. So, we're living in a time when becoming wealthy, as they say, has become very easy. So they say, but that could be a different reality here, right? But we're speaking of it in terms of the world. Now, one thing you'll notice is, as we move on in time, there is a lot of emphasis on two things: prosperity, you know, being financially stable, and so people are becoming very busy, wanting to make it in life. Statistics show that
Books which are selling in millions of copies are books which talk about how to be wealthy, how to make it. They are the books which are trending and they sell a lot. Of course, you have classical titles by Napoleon Hill, How to Grow Rich, but we have a whole lot of them today. They talk about how you can be rich, how you can be your own boss, how you can make it in life. You have books by authors like Kiyosaki, which talks about Rich Dad, Poor Dad, teaching you how to be financially independent. And that's the era of time we're living in. Now, listen to me. Like the series Seek Here, the Kingdom of God First, I think that was taught very well. And this message will act as a very good connecting bridge. There is a lot of emphasis on people seeking for gold. God represents wealth, right? Is that so? Yeah. So we are living in a time when people are seeking for gold. People are seeking for wealth, how to be stable, how to make it in life. Now, here is one thing. We should never lose sight of this. You were not born to reduce your life to chasing after money or gold until gold becomes your God. And see, in verse 17 it says, Laodicea says, I am rich. And what is sad is churches are supposed to be the light to the world. But what's the message of the church today? It speaks the same message you read in Laodicea here. Get rich, prosper. God loves you. He wants you to be wealthy. That has never been the message of the kingdom. Now, don't be mistaken. It is God who made gold. Are we together? Silver and gold belongs to him, the Bible says. But what is their purpose? Here is one thing. God has no problem with you having gold. He also doesn't have a problem with you not having it. The question is, which God are you serving? If I need a resource because I need it to help me do this and that, that's one thing. If I need it so that I can be rich and people can see and then it takes over my heart, then that's different. That's your idol now. Now, this is the mistake of Laodicea. The obsession is earthly pursuits. Until God is out of the picture. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Let us hear the warning in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves.
covetous. Now, first, let's pick it one item at a time. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I believe you know what that is. Loving yourself. In the last days, people will be focused on themselves. What I can have. Kuzisangalalisa, you know? Kuinjoya. That's what it is. Covetous. You know what to be covetous mean? I see someone has something. That is covetousness. Kukumbwira zo kumbwira kumbwira. Kuti nane nionekeko so, nionekeko so. That's not a believer's life. A believer, you get something because you need it and you feel it will satisfy your need. If you've noticed, I think I'm being inconvenienced by this. I think I need that item. We buy things for the right reasons. We don't buy things to compete with anyone, right? But covetousness, it is being obsessed with wanting to have that, wanting to have that, wanting to have that. Even things you don't need, you just want to keep appearances. Never be consumed by that attitude. Live for what you need. Don't compete with anyone. It says, in the last days again, we're going to have boasters. Lifting yourself. Who you are. What you are in life. It says, proud blasphemers. Look at that word, blasphemers. You know what a blasphemer is? Someone who makes light of sacred things and even makes joke or insults them. Tune in to TV and watch Hollywood movies. You know the name of the Lord is blasphemed almost every minute. They speak the name Jesus in very dirty statements, and they speak about things which are supposed to be sacred. They just make it as a passing statement in a cursing word. A long time ago, you won't do that. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unthankful. For you to be here, you are seated, you are listening to the word of God because you are thankful for what God has done for you. You remembered to come to the house of God. You need to praise God for having that conscience in you, because in many it has died. It's no longer there. They don't feel a difference whether they are at home or whether they come in church. So tiyamike mulungu gatika ganizo kajaka mantaka mulungu kakalipo mumtima timuyamike. Kajaka kamwalira kajaka chokapo. Pakuti whether wabwera kuchechi sunabwere paribe vamene umvera nishinduwa mwalira, you are a dead person. Njifukwa chake makolo, mufakeko nzelu, mukaona mwana alibe interest kubwera kuchechi, it is your responsibility kubafaka momanta, kuti wachedwa kuchechi, which tatani, Bible yako ilikuti. Yali very important mawayo. Very important. Mwamini umashitira kuti wachedwa kuskulu, uniform yako ilikuti. And it puts something in a child to know that, eh, school is important. Next time nieve eka, ambo tamanga tamanga, nachedwa. Wazani panisha. Why? There is value for that thing. What you were seeing here in front, Sunday school coming, they make a song. Kosa isa seme ni masove laji. Wakakula wazakumbuka vamene wachita. Vizangena maganizo, vizangena. Nde vizamba wachita motivate kutu ya next memory verse, ya next ninda nazakamba, ndine nizakamba. Your child is better off having those desires. If your child has no interest in spiritual things, the only thing they talk about is Man U, Manchester. Man U. That's not good. If a child is growing up like that, you can fairly predict where he's going. Women, can I ask you something? Women, this is a question for women. What do you prefer? You have a man, akakomboka kuchito, abwera straight kunyumba. Anyamulana tuma plastic, muliko ka bread, muliko ka milk, but afika 17 hours wabwera. Pa weekend kulibe kwa mena enda, alishabe pa nyumba na family, or maybe ngatisali ipo pa nyumba, likuvama pempero pempero. If you think that is cheap, ask those who are in the world and the problems they go through. Akakomboka kunchito, afane kafesta pitireko mubetting. That same betting first, wamweko 1 or 2 kasu pamene watamba maniyo. Ziko ekambande umuna uja. Do you know that's the definition of man's lifestyle now? Women even know that apa weekend swankara panyumba wali na wanzao wali kote washimika kuja ni iti ya wina ni Manu ni unfortunately those are the few names I know, but I know there are a whole list of them, right? But ask any woman here, what husband would you prefer? One who comes straight home, right? Hello? But this one who is always in the pub, why is he always there? That's what interests him. That's what he so feeds on. Now, what your child goes through between the ages 13 to 19 years, these are very critical ages in a child's life. Vamene vinge na mwana pamasikwa 13 years to 19 years old, nde vamene vikamba mwamena zankalila kusogoro. I period titana ya teenage. Those are teenage years. If during the teenage years mumutu muli bola, mumutu muli njuga, mumutu muli all these funny things, these are things that shape the life of a child. Very critical years. And the brain is a very complicated system. What goes in the mind, many times it stays in there, especially if it's repeated enough. So when we're talking about Sunday school, oh, Sunday school, yamba first 8 hours. Wana waenda na ntao kwanju kuskuru. In our home, they wake up at 05, ngatini kuskuru, as early as that. And I believe in many homes, because you need to prepare for food, you need to prepare for all these things. So they wake up very early, 05 or 06. A I want every child in here who never came for Sunday school to stand up.
I won't repeat the question.
You are a child, you didn't come for Sunday school today, stand up.
Kosa yopa. Olo wakuona wakupasa linso watate na mamai imirira. Gatsuna bwere ku Sunday school. Kosa yopa, olo wakulanga na ijalinso, stand up. Gatsuna bwere ku Sunday school.
Very good.
Yeah, every child to stand up. Brother Teddy, can you quickly count all of them?
Brother Teddy always complains to me. The attendance in Sunday school is poor. Attendance is poor in Sunday school.
How many? 26. 27.
All those of you who are elderly, I want you to look at all these who've stood up.
You said 27? 27?
If these children got to a pity is a kusabwera kusande school, we are having 27 problems already. These will be problems. Do not think when a child doesn't come for Sunday school, it doesn't do anything. Believe me, you, some of you who've grown up loving the Lord, it's because of Sunday school. You may not have seen it, but it helped you. Is that true? These children who've stood up, they won't remain young as they look. They are growing up.
Ku Sunday school kuli content hii na amenity punzi stinga punzi sekono ili chabe for children, it helps them. We teach them morality, how to behave in a home. Then every month tinkara na prayer and fasting ya e group ya Sunday school chabe ima chitika every month vama kumana kuno from 9 hours to 15 hours siwa kuja siwa shita viri vwanse tiwa punzisa pakaria, tiwa punzisa why school is important, tiwa punzisa why mapempera is important, tiwa punzisa na kupempera. Those who are coming, believe me, you, one way or another, it will help shape their minds in a certain way. We may not see the results now, but it will help them in the future.
Because Laodicea out there, it has become very dark.
This place is what will help them.
But if they keep coming late, they always miss Sunday school, these are problems we'll be having tomorrow.
What kind of problems?
Mwana wanga inanivuta, tuamuna. Mwana wanga inanivuta, so, so, na so.
Those are problems we'll be having.
You know how to prevent certain things?
Sunday school helps.
You can sit down, young people.
If you use the same seriousness towards your child when they're going for school to say, wake up, it's church today. The way you tell them, wake up, it's school today.
If you give them the same sense of seriousness towards the spiritual things, believe me, it will help them.
Next time, it's not you waking them up, it will be them saying, I'm late for Sunday school.
Kudala nenze kamba na tingati mwana wanu sabwe la kusande siku ni zanu hizo.
Manje ni nareka manje.
Ni zatu hizo.
Because you know what will happen?
I have boys.
Others you have girls.
At one point or the other, the things will start happening.
When they reach that age, when they think they need to make a family. The time your child tells you, no, you know, I would want to make a family with that, and that's the time now your BP will start rising to say, ah, that one. But if the children are growing up with the same fear of God, you won't have a problem. You know that they are all learning. They all fear the leadership of the church. They all have respect for the word of God. Then problems are not there. So if you are a parent and you see the other family, Sunday school, they are not coming, get concerned. Why are your children missing in Sunday school? Because what affects one family affects all of us. Am I communicating to someone? We are speaking about Laodicea. When they go out there in the world, all they know is how to get rich, how to make it in life, how to... Those are not things... Those things, they keep the flesh. They don't keep the soul. But in a house like this, this is a hospital, not for the body. It's a hospital for our souls to hear the word that can heal and mend our spirits inside. Now, speaking about gold, gold represents something of great value. Let's go back to Revelation 3. Look at verse 18 and look at the promise that Jesus makes. Let us all read verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So, Now that is interesting. Jesus says, come. You, Laodicea, you are saying you are rich. You think you have gold. You think you have silver. Yes, you have some kind of gold. You have some kind of silver. But he says, but I have something of more value. It is true gold because it's been tried in the fire. Now, let us look at the characteristics of gold. Is there something I can use to... Okay, we'll try to use this. We want to look at characteristics of gold. Do you realize that gold is very much used in the Bible? It's a very cherished metal. Even today, people keep wealth in form of gold at the bank. Why is gold such a precious thing? We usually speak of it to represent wealth. Let us look at the following characteristics. You know, gold is not like copper. It's not like silver or these other minerals. It is highly resistant to corrosion. It can't corrode. You know what to corrode is? Kuyambo kumbika kumbika. Yesterday, Brother Tenson came to paint the guardrails on top there, Utrum balcony. You know the reason? Or my burglars are white my painter. Who knows the reason? Does someone know the reason? There's a hand behind, yes? Rust, right? Tikasirira sochabe, mvula ikagwerako, yashita react, yambo kumbika kumbika, yambo panga nguwe. True, pure gold does not go through that. It doesn't corrode. Si kumbika kumbika. Thank you. Number two, because it can't corrode, it is resistant to tarnishing. You know, there are these watches sometimes, or a ring, they will tell you it's of gold. Near Golide. But as you wear it, later on you find yambo kumbika kumbika, yambo chinja na color. Tarnishing, it means first yanzone kangati gold, then ya chinja mbone kangati silver. Nishimuzi wa tisenze Golide. To gold, wanaipenda chabe na kakara kolinga nako na gold. Pure gold does not tarnish. Color ya mene ili nayo, ni ya mene yo. Are we together? Why? It's a high quality precious mineral. Kulibe kukumbika kumbika, corroding, kulibe kutanishinga. If the color is a certain way, it will remain like that. But do you know we are living in a time of a lot of fake gold? You know that? You buy a something, it will look like, oh, this is goldenish. No, they've just sprinkled some splash with a color of gold. You look at it, you keep it, later on it will start corroding, later on it will start tarnishing the color, then you know that was fake gold. Gold also is very dense. Sichin to pepoka. It's got weight. So you know when it has got weight, if wind is blowing, it's not something that will easily turn if you have it in a good measure. Then here is another property which is interesting. Not easily attacked. Not easily attacked by air, heat, moisture, and solvents. You know, there are these tunsimbi utatuma Y12 or utatuma tube. There was a time tenze tina gula tatufa kapansi. Mvula sinalokirepo, tenze tuna nkalacha beso. But now na kupita kwa madezi ya mbochinja. Kuchoka mkone kama mene fani kuhone kerangati nsimbi ya mbonkala brown. Naona nguwe ya mbo pange kanata. Nenze genza chabe ima shitai vingati mvula ya lukerapo. Kansi wolo ukaisia chabe ya mbo chinja kala. You know what causes it to change? Mpepo ya mene, chifuka mpepo, mulimanzi moja. So upeza angati ni usiku, ya mene mpepo ya mbo panga tuma water droplets, then what happens? The air begins to make it to tarnish, begins to make it corrode. Oh, that there is heat. If every time metal is exposed to heat, it will start changing the color. It will start getting affected. Sometimes it's solvents. If you take a piece of metal, then you will tell like you suke mans. Ngati mumanzi mujamuli tuntutwina, maybe certain chemicals, certain things which dissolved in that water, it may affect that metal. But all these things, they don't affect gold. You can expose gold to the air. You come back, it still looks the same. You can expose it to heat. It is such a strong metal.
it will still be like that. You can expose it to solvents. Olom solvent moja kulitwina to many mafaka to certain chemicals. You find that gold is very resistant. Put another way, gold does not easily get affected by the atmosphere and the environment where it is in. Now, do you know that gold in scriptures or in prophetic study, we make it to represent God himself, divinity? Where you see gold, usually it represents divinity. It represents godliness. Why? God is eternal. He doesn't change. So usually we use the properties of gold to represent who he is. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? All other minerals, when you expose them to air, they begin to tarnish, they begin to change. But gold represents eternity, eternal value, something of long-lasting value. Now, the wealth of the world is not true gold. Because whatever you have and possess, which you value so much, and it takes the number one priority in your life, whether it is education, whether it is business, whether it is work, whether it is family, whatever it is, I want to tell you one thing. With time, that wealth, as long as that thing is not gold, that thing will corrode. Today you can look very strong, running up and down, trying to do this business, you have energy, one day your energy will start corroding. You won't walk and run as fast as you were yesterday. With time, there will be tarnishing. Kusinti dua maone kedwe. Kuta, pamene na igula nkolo kwe, yenzaone kangati golide, golide, manje manje yone kangati silver, silver, si yone kabuino. Anything of this world, it tarnishes with time. I remember many years ago going to a certain house where this man used to work. He used to earn a very good income. You could see the paint is looking good. The furniture is excellent. After many years, I entered the same house. It was a shadow of what it used to be many years ago. I looked at the ceiling. It was coming off. I looked at the walls, which one time, really, I was impressed by them. It had a lot of holes in it, dirty, smears. What happened? The man retired. A house which was very inviting, very attractive, very beautiful, was now looking tarnished. As long as something lives in time, it will end up like that. Is that correct? Yes. It will tarnish. It won't look in tip-top condition the way it looks. As long as something is in time, time has an impact on us. Chintu chili chonse chili muntawi, mukupita kwa ntawi, chiambo sila, chiambo jewa, chiambo kongo zoka, chifukwa chili muntawi. Amen. Your hair today is black. You have an afro today. With the passing of time, the hair thins out. What do you think that means? From black it has tarnished, it has become gray. What we are speaking happens to an individual, it happens to a business, it happens to all things around us. And as you walk in life, the environment can change you. Do you know there are certain things in our makeup, in our physical makeup, it's because of the environment where we are. Look at our environment in Zambia. It's a very different environment. In Africa, it's a different environment. You go in another part of the world, their weather is different. Their surrounding is different. You come here in Africa, totally different. These things have an impact on your system. In the way we look. But you know, God is good. No matter how the environment has been destroyed, He has made our bodies in such a way that they adapt to the environment. That's the greatness of God. Do you know our black skin has a very important purpose here in Africa? Did you know that? Huh? We have a lot of melanin. It protects us. Inkanda yokuda ina lingo. It chingiriza kumatenda yanga tigwire. Chifukwa pamaro pamine tiriri. Chifukwa cha zuba ya mine tiri nayo. So mulungu anafaka mpamvu mutupi yakuti ngati zintu za sokonezeka pamene tiriri. Mulungu anafaka mukudala mabatani mkati umu ya chinja kuti apamanje. The body needs to adapt to protect us. Depa mene mwona wina zona mira tini sweteko. I don't know what these lotions they buy. Kuta sweteko. Kapena ninda ni ana kunama kutu kusweta ndiye kuoneka bwino. Chifukwa vamene utamba magazine. Nukuzuononga uko. You ask the doctors, they will tell you. Nukuzuononga, nukuononga skin. Inkala iribe protection. The environment affects us. But look at this mineral. Olo maifaka pali mpepo pali chani. Yeve inkala mamene iriri. This represents godliness. When you are a child of God and you've received the Holy Spirit in your life, you know that Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Word, you have real God in you. You have it in you. And Jesus here says, come buy pure God from me. And He says, it has been tried in the fire. Ndiye vajavantu wakuti ziko itinje bwanji wakaliwa mapempero. I remember a certain friend. We saw each other many years, maybe 20, 30 years ago. Childhood friends. vija ukalinavo. Awe ziva mapempero pempero tinapeza golide. Ukaipeza hii. But when bore sracha fake ni say amene nili nayo ni konke vamene oni pasa fake. I can't do that. I know the value of what I've received inside me. Jesus told that woman, if you drink of the waters that I give you, you won't thirst again. Yesu enzana pempa manzi kulu uja mzimai ati nipasi kwa manzi atawe sininga kupasena ati ngatuzi wa wamena kamba naiwe asembe ndiwe upempa manzi kuline chifukwa amena mwa manzi kuchokera kuline saza mvela njota foot. That's the way the word of God is. When you get pure gold, you can never be fooled by fake gold. But our young people today, they grow up in church. Then someone comes and says, you know, vaku church, church, you know, we still need to enjoy life. And someone lies to that young person. Wampasa fake gold. The person will seem like they're enjoying what they're doing. They've joined the wrong group. They'll seem like they're enjoying what they're doing. But with time, what they've received will start corroding. Shizambo ola, tambo panga migode. Maybe that young person starts drinking beer, starts enjoying the world and life. Munyama tenze oneka bwino, menso enze white, meno enze white uyo, amboneka vinangu vinangu. Sisi amboneka vinangu, menso yambonkala red. Chivoisi cha onongeka, what is happening? Ni fake gold, yambonongeka kala yambosira. You understand that? But when you receive the word of God, it will keep your life. It will put joy in your heart. That does not mean you won't go through problems. Problems will come, but you will still stand. Why? Whatever happens around us, whether it is air, whether it is heat, whether it is moisture, whether it is servants, they can affect our bodies, but they will never touch our soul. We will still stand on the word of God. Let us go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a big image. Daniel 2, 31. This image's head was of fine gold. And see, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. When you read verse 38, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven have he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all, thou art this head of gold. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar came out of this experience, he ordered for an idol to be made which was of gold. He wanted, you know, people to worship that idol. But look here, saints. Nebuchadnezzar's rulership, it is God who gave him. Now, that one day he thought he was powerful. He thought he was great himself. Let us read Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. We see a sad thing which happened to him. Daniel 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Why? He exalted himself. And then God took the kingdom away from him. What happened to him? A man who was once great, a man who was once very high, he was reduced to eating like an animal. What happened? He was the head of gold. But you know that later on, when Belshazzar became the king, what happened? Later on, the kingdom of Babylon fell. Another empire took over. That head of gold corroded. It tarnished. It yielded to the heat of the world through the Medes and the Persians. Today, where is Babylon? It's no more. We've only remained with the days they named on the calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Babylon is no more. So that head of gold, which was shown in that vision, was not gold tried in the fire. It wasn't the real tried in the fire, no. Here in Zambia, we've had great rulers. We once had the great Kenneth Kaunda. He was greatly feared. You mention his name, oh my, those were the years of state of emergency. There used to be a slogan, Kaunda wamuyaya, mumulunani lesa, panshi Kaunda. He was a great ruler. I mean, every official document, every side you looked at, Kaunda was the name. When other people started feeling like, I think they can also form a political party, they can also, you know, try to contest. In 1973, Kaunda and his government, they said, no. They introduced one-party state. You, no more political parties, only UNIP. Only UNIP. So all those who had aspirations to form political parties, they couldn't go nowhere because by the time they were being released from prison, they found a new system. You only have one-party state, so they couldn't fight. They couldn't contest. And through the years, people started getting dissatisfied. People started getting dissatisfied with the economy. They said, no. We want multipartism. We want multipartism. Kaunda felt the pressure. 1991, they had to change the constitution again. They said, okay, multipartism is back. You can. That was Frederick Chiluwa, right? Chiluwa won. A new era started. MMD, the hour has come for change. What happened to UNIP? People thought UNIP would be there forever, but well, it corroded, it tarnished, it yielded to the heat. UNIP is no more. I guess it's still there as a political party, but in power, I mean, it's not there. And I know Easterners can be so royal. I believe if I go to Eastern Province, I can find two or three UNIP people there. You know? Well, Chiluwa came. MMD, it was its time. They went on and on and on and on. Until later on, you had, is it PF? Today you have UPND. These are shifting sands. You can't hang your future in politics. But the Bible promises us of the coming King of Kings. He was shown as a stone in the vision of Daniel, which smote the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and it grew as a high mountain ruling over the whole world. Now, when that king was born, let us conclude on this. Let's see what gift he was given. Matthew 2, verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 11. So in the last sharing of Brother Chavula, he mentioned about this. How these wise men, when they saw that supernatural sign leading them to the birth, to the place where him who was born to be king of the Jews was born. Now, see what they came with. See what they came to give him. Matthew 2, verse 11. Shall we read? And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. What was the first gift? Yeah. You see, the gift you give a person shows what you think of them. Is that correct? Imagine on your birthday, I come with a gift full of cigarettes. What do I think of you? You are a smoker, right? And my thought is you'll be very happy with this pack of cigarettes. But I don't expect anyone to receive such a gift here. Because we don't smoke. Right? Yeah. I remember being gifted a Bible. I had traveled, you know. And I was given a Bible which to this day I treasure because it has four versions in it. That's a very expensive Bible. I only use it for study. So I don't need to get this version and that version. I see all the versions in one spot. That was Singapore, actually. That was Brother Ken. And then he also gave me a gift. It was a nice pen. And inside he put a little note. He said, continue writing more books. Continue writing. Now, when you look at these gifts, a Bible and a pen with a note, continue writing. It's because he knew, number one, I love studying the scripture. And he knew I love writing and publishing. So that was the first time I visited, and I knew he gave it thought, what can I give him, you know, as a new visitor trying to welcome you and all that. He tried to think of what can interest me. All right? So when we're giving a gift to someone, we want to think, what can make him happy? Who is he? Right? Who is he? So if I'm a writer, you give me a pen, that's important to me. If I love the Bible, you give me a very nice, detailed study Bible, that's a precious gift to me. If I give you a gift, a baking machine, and you do baking, that's very important for you. But you give it to me and I don't bake, I'll quickly think of how can I sell it so that I get what I need, because it doesn't communicate value to me. You understand? So these men, when they went to see the child Jesus, the first gift they presented Well, there were a different number of them. They could have been 20, they could have been... We don't know the actual number, but we know the gifts were three. Look, they walked a long distance. I think the distance, it took them years. And you can't walk such a long distance to give an arbitrary gift. They gave thought to what they were giving. If you are making such a long, important journey, you put thought to what gift are we getting? And the first gift mentioned was gold. It shows what they thought about this person. Remember what they said when they arrived in Israel? Where is he that is born? King of the Jews. Already that tells you what they thought about him. He'll be the king. They knew the prophecies of Daniel. Remember, they came from the east and they were called wise men. When you read the book of Daniel, those who were called wise men were in a special category. They studied the stars, they studied the prophecies, and Daniel was considered among the wise men. And in Babylon, through the Persian Empire, the ranks of Daniel went up. By the time you come to the time of King Darius in Daniel chapter 6, the empire grew so large. From Eastern Europe, stretching all the way to the eastern part of Asia, the western part of Asia, all the way down to Egypt in Africa. That's how big the empire was. And King Darius divided it into 120 provinces. And all these provinces had a prince, had a ruler. And all these 120 princes were also being governed by three powerful presidents. And Daniel was one of the presidents. And among these three, the other two presidents, they reported to Daniel. That's how God had lifted him, right? But what made people revere Daniel was not his political office, no. Others called him, he has spirit of gods in him. Whatever he sees comes to pass. So, they started regarding his prophecies to be very sacred. Historians say, when Alexander the Great went to attack the Persian Empire, and as he was going on that way, he passed through the way of Jerusalem. Alexander was conquering everything that stood in his way. All the other empires were being defeated, being subjugated. But when he came to the land of Israel, you know why Israel was spared? A group of priests. They went to meet Alexander. And they showed him the prophecy of Daniel. Say, look, we have a prophecy. You can read it. It spoke about your rising. Ah, Alexander felt good. So these people are for me. You know, they recognize. And he spared them. With time, people revered the prophecies of Daniel. What did the prophecy say? The prophecy said, there will be Babylon, there will be Medo-Persia, there will be Greece, there will be Roman Empire, but a time is coming when a kingdom will come like a stone. It will crush all worldly empires and it will become a kingdom that will fill the whole earth. Where are these things? It's in that eastern part of the region, that Middle Eastern area. So, people were following the prophecies. They were able to see Babylon has come, Babylon has gone. Exactly as Daniel said it. Medo-Persia, he even went in details describing how Medo-Persia will come out and how it will be defeated by, you know, Alexander the Great. The prophecy is so detailed. So the astrologers were always waiting for that. It became part of the sacred writings they were watching. And when that time came, and that light came, off they started off with their journey. They knew this is going to change the world. This is not just some baby born. He's going to change. Time's about to change. They read the prophecy, how this will be a kingdom to be established forever. Because that's the word spoken in Daniel. To his kingdom there will be no end. That's the prophecy in Daniel. That kingdom, there will be no end. No man will crush it. Like gold, it won't corrode. It won't be tarnished. It won't, no kingdom will crush it in the way. It will be a kingdom which will live and abide forever. That's the prophecy of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel sees in the vision. He says, I saw one like son of man brought to the Ancient of Days. And he was given the kingdom. And the saints ruled over the world. And here is the word again which is repeated. To his kingdom there shall be no end. Nebuchadnezzar was also a head of gold. But that was not God tried in the fire. No. It was earthly gold. But when these wise men knew that time for the prophecy has come, and they saw a sign in the heavens, their gifts had a revelation. They knew now the real gold tried in the fire has come. Hallelujah. Amen. So they packed gold. The king, and they knew he would come from the Jews. They knew the prophecy. And you know, those men were not Jews. Their language tells it. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And you know, when they made that announcement, it disturbed the whole land of Israel. That's what the Bible says. Everyone started talking about it. The Messiah is born. The Messiah is born. Because encoded in that prophecy was the liberation of Israel. Israelites knew if the Messiah has come, the Roman Empire will be crushed. Because that's Daniel's prophecy. That's Jeremiah's prophecy. That's Isaiah's prophecy. To his kingdom there shall be no end. That is why when Herod heard the news, it's not the baby he was scared of. It is what embodied the messianic prophecy that scared him. He knew it will lead to a revolt because people believed in that prophecy. Even when John the Baptist was baptizing, the first question, the politicians went to the baptism service. The Pharisees, they followed that odd-looking man. Odd as in ODD. Strange-looking man. They went there. The Bible says, all Judea went down there. Can I ask you? There were no miracles to his ministry. What attracted them there? The man had no education. Why did politicians go down there? You need to watch the question they asked. They said, are you the Messiah? That was their interest. Because the prophecy was reverberating throughout the land. Are you the one? Are you the one? That was the question. When these men arrived, they presented gold. Why? Because they knew his kingdom won't be corroded. It had special divinity in it. They knew he was destined to be the king, not just of the Jews, but of the world. They knew that to his kingdom there will be no end, the way gold is. But now, saints, do you know there is a promise in the scripture that those who believe in Christ, those who've received the Holy Spirit, will rule with him. Because he will be king of kings. But you can't rule with him if you don't have the gift of that gold in you. Of gold. Gold. What is gold? It symbolizes divinity. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God is eternal. It's life. And what's the Spirit of God? It characterizes the word. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. When you become born again, eternity abides in you. The word of God abides in you. Not the word intellectual, the spirit of the word itself, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And it is that spirit which connects us to eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die, but shall have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? It is life without corrosion. It is life without tarnishing. No matter what happens in your political environment, no matter what happens, even if churches are compromised, people walk in sin, people live in sin, you have gold tried of fire. The environment doesn't change you. Why? You have the word of God in you. Nothing is more precious than that. Shall we stand? In the next service, we shall talk about the raiment. Because divinity is that power which makes us eternal. Eternal means you're not changing with times. You have the rock of ages in you. He lives and abides forever. That's eternity. A person who has become connected with eternity can never be fooled by the temptations of temporal sin. Shall we bow our heads? The Lord Jesus gives an open invitation. He chastised Laodicea. He says, "You Laodicea, you are blind, you are poor, you are naked." There's no good thing which was mentioned about Laodicea. Everything was bad. But look at the love of God. He still says, "I'm still inviting you." Meaning, no matter how bad Laodicea is, God is so gracious. He still gives an invitation. Come buy pure gold from me. Gold tried in the fire. You know, when you have pure gold, all other things will make sense in your life. Like we were taught, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the real gold. Then all these other things will be added unto you. When God blesses you with wealth, that wealth will now make sense. Why? You have the pure gold. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed,
If you have a prayer request, I want you to pour out your heart to God. He's so merciful. With all the terrible condition of Laodicea, he still gave an invitation. Come, buy pure God from me. If it was man, he would have said, get away from here, you poor, blind, miserable. He would have said, get away. But God said, at the end of it, he says, come, buy pure God from me. That means he rebukes us out of love. When he tells us you are naked, it's not because he wants to reveal our shame. He wants us to be clothed. Let us whisper something to the Lord, whichever way the Lord has ministered to you. You can be thankful to him. You can request for something from him. But let us just say prayer to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us this morning. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercies, Lord, which are new every morning. Thank you, Father, for thy blessings, the blessing which comes to us by the avenue of the word. And now, Lord, you are giving us pure God, tried in the fire. Help us, Father, that we be faithful. That, Lord, we not be fooled by the spirit of this world, but that we may yield and surrender unto you, Lord, walking in the grace of the Lord, walking in the revelation of the truth. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessings.